time to abandon ship.
Oh no!
Here we go.
Can I persuade you to join us for a drink? It's a tradition.
Here, here.
Jar Jar, homie, my main man. Quick, before the Separatists attack, get into the escape pod.
Hey, this is escape, then we're the pod. Jesus,
welcome back to Star Wars Escape Pod. I'm your host, Josh, and we have our co-hosts, Blake and Bryce, in the Escape Pod today for a very quick chat about The Acolyte, the trailer that just launched on YouTube and everywhere around the internet for the next Disney Plus show, which premieres June 4th in 77 days, 4 hours and 39 minutes and 15 seconds. This show takes place during the High Republic era, and we're going to dive into the trailer very quick today and just kind of hash out our initial thoughts and what we're thinking. Let's get into it.
Another happy landing.
Close your eyes. Your eyes can deceive you. We must not trust them. Tell me what comes into your mind.
Life. Balance. I see fire.
Someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense.
What happened?
I sensed darkness.
This isn't about good or bad. This is about power, and who is allowed to use it.
What is that?
Star Wars Escape Pod is the Republic's choice of podcast anywhere in the galaxy. Leave a stellar review and tune in each week for more.
All right, there we go. Let's bring Blake online here. And wow. Hello, Bryce.
Wow. What a treat today.
Yeah, what a treat. Not every day we get a Star Wars trailer. And hello, yeah. Blake.
Am I coming through? Can you hear my all the projection?
Yeah, you're coming through just barely. It's flickering
and
blue.
You must be in the outer rim.
That's right. I got it jettisoned from the escape pod, so I wasn't able to attend in person. I got stranded out here.
Yeah, evac's on the way. Don't worry, man. We've picked up your beacon.
Yeah. Okay, good. Maybe you can hone in on my location. I don't even know where I am. I just got dumped somewhere in the outer rim. Would love a pickup. Start drifting towards me.
Some backwater. Yeah.
Awesome.
Watch out, man. I've heard there's someone assassinating Jedi out there.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I'll have to have my wits about me to cut myself off from the Force.
Oh, man. I mean, Bryce was just saying it's what a treat. We get a Star Wars trailer to talk about today. And very exciting because this is the first time since Revenge of the Sith that we've ever had anything that's kind of new live action sort of prequel related stuff. And this is before all the prequels. This is 100 years before The Phantom Menace. So you know, Yoda's around and Yarrow Poof and maybe Plo Koon and Jedi like that, but the big snake guy. I always forget his name. I mean, what's his name? Like Opus Rampro or something?
Yeah. No, man, you're close. You're close.
Oppo something. Yeah. So
I know who you're talking about. I just don't know his name.
Right.
Something rancid. Rancid.
Oh, yeah.
Rancid.
Rancid. Oh man. Okay. So initial thoughts, Bryce. Maybe you can kick us off. What are your thoughts when you look at a trailer like this?
Man, it's like, I mean, it's really nice to see something that has like unlimited kind of potential. Like, I don't really know if I picked up on anything, you know, that could be like tied in. So it's like, feels so fresh, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited to watch it because I just feel like there's so much new material.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. What about you, Blake?
Well, it's actually really interesting. Like, before watching the trailer, like, I really didn't know what to think. Right, because like you just hear like, oh, they're working on this production, but we really didn't know anything about it. And you and I had read the books, Bryce. You read some of the High Republic books as well, so we kind of got like an idea, like pretty prequely. But I feel like it didn't really hit me until I watched the trailer and think like, oh wow, like it just kind of took me back to watching Phantom Menace when that first came out, and it got me really excited.
Yeah, that's
oh, yeah.
I think that's definitely sort of a close enough vibe, I think, you know, to where they probably want people to be coming from, you know, and in their feels, you know, watching this trailer and kind of the time setting and all that stuff. This is the Jedi in their prime. And by the time we watch Phantom Menace, like the Jedi are already kind of blind to the fact that the Sith have infiltrated the Republic and they're, you know, working their way towards greater power. So this is going to be a very interesting show because this is sort of like the roots of all that. Like, it obviously took a long time for that sort of plan to come into place. And we don't really know where the Darth Plagueis book sits in all this, where that story even fits into the canon anymore, or even if it does, you know, like, what does this mean with all the High Republic stuff coming out and this being sort of the tail end of all of those stories, just kind of how that is supposed to flow into how they want to set up that 100-year gap between Acolyte and Phantom Menace. You know, not entirely sure, but I think a lot of us are really hoping that they can kind of stick to the EU as much as possible. And it was encouraging when I read on StarWars.com, there was an interview with Leslie Headland, who's sort of the showrunner of this title. And she said something about how she kind of read a lot of the old EU books and they've picked their pieces. There's a quote here on StarWars.com that she says, "There's also some EU lore that I decided to put in because I thought it was so cool and no one told me I couldn't," she adds with a laugh. So I thought that was kind of cool. And, you know,
Plagueis.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe at the very end, like we get something there. But the title really gives us a huge clue already. Like, as it is, this is called the Acolyte, not the Sith Apprentice, not the, you know, not the Jedi assassin or whatever. Like, this is a, and if you look up the definition of acolyte, right, like this is a very appropriate term to use for perhaps someone who is being used by somebody else, you know, in terms of their like a service or whatever. So, you know, it's potentially relevant to think like maybe the Sith are using a fallen Jedi or a Jedi who maybe used to, somebody who used to be a Jedi or something happened and, you know, they're losing their way and they're being used, right, against the Jedi Order. So there's a character featured through the whole trailer trying to assassinate multiple Jedi, and her name's May. And on StarWars.com, her profile says, "May gets swept up in the sinister mystery, one that puts her into the center of a conflict in unexpected ways." And there was a lot of cue with her color, the robes and everything, you know, kind of like, bit of light and dark going on. Leslie said something about how purple is the combination of red and blue, so they wanted to work that into the uniform a little bit, just to kind of signify that she's sort of torn between, you know, not quite like Kylo Ren, but not super different either. I think she probably used to be a good guy, and now is not so bad. Is that kind of the feeling that you guys are getting with this?
I'm almost a bit worried we're being like they're throwing us through a loop or something. Like, they're making it seem like she's gonna be the one killing people. But maybe she's gonna turn into more like the hero of the show, or like maybe, you know, it could be something like she's trying to clear her name or something. Like, but she thinks the Jedi think she did it, and they're kind of chasing her around, or
like Ahsoka and the bombing her.
There's still a lot of mystery. Right. Yeah, yeah, and then you know she's trying to like maybe she's trying to tell the Jedi something, but they're not listening, kind of thing.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of room.
Do you guys think that she's the young girl at the beginning? Do you think that's a flashback at the beginning that she's the one who says, "I see fire"?
Oh, very well. Yeah, I mean, it could. I mean,
like they already did that, though, right? With Reva?
They did do that. Yeah, they did do a flashback with Reva. Yeah. So, do you think maybe it could be something similar?
That's not what I got. I mean, if that's what happens, it would, like, I could see it, but my interpretation was that was more just like an ominous setting thing, like similar to what we see with just Yoda talking to the younglings and they just happen to sense something. Kind of like foreshadowing. That's more or less what I thought it was.
Right. The Jedi Master.
Well,
go ahead, Bryce.
Yeah. I was just going to say on the database, it does say like Jedi Master, his name's Sol.
Yeah.
And he says he's going through some emotional conflict. So, I mean, there could like, you know, his emotional conflict could be at some point maybe he kind of failed one of his students and she went rogue.
Right.
It's true. Yeah. It's starting to sound very Darth Vader-y. Darth Vader, like Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's... And as we know, going into Attack of the Clones, you know, when you see the Jedi archives, there's a number of statues that line the walls which are representative of like the fallen, or the Jedi that walked away from the Order, that they kind of look at that as a failure on behalf of the Jedi Order. And Dooku is one of those statues. And I guess it's not super far-fetched to believe that maybe, you know, even though the Sith are supposed to not really be, I guess there's not supposed to be any witnesses, is what I'm trying to say, prior to the Phantom Menace, that the tale gets out, that they're alive and still around, right? So... you know, but that doesn't mean that Jedi can't walk away from the Order, right? So that I think is probably important to kind of keep in mind, you know, prior to watching the show, is there can still be fallen Jedi that, you know, don't necessarily turn to the dark, to as a Sith Lord or whatever. But
yeah, just like the dark Jedi, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, dark Jedi.
Yeah. So Sol, interesting character, played by what's his name? Lee something, and he's from Squid Game. Really looking
forward to it. Yeah, I recognized him right away.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize his face. So I'm like, oh, yeah, like, that got me excited for the casting, actually, because I really liked him a lot in Squid Game.
Yeah. He has an apprentice.
Yeah, the casting's really good.
Casting is awesome, yeah. His apprentice, the name is Jeki. Jeki's the Padawan of Master Sol. And although she is young, she projects calm and conducts herself with maturity. She only has one line in the trailer, and she's got the kind of red streaks on her left and right side of the forehead with some horns. So I don't know what species she is, but she's played by, I forget her last name, Daphne something, I think. She was X-23 in Logan. So it's been a while since we've seen her on screen as younger girl. But yeah, she's a bit older now.
Laura, I think, is her name in that. Right.
Her
character name.
Yeah.
In Logan.
Yeah. 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 I forget her character. I always think of her as X-23. So, forget her character name. But yeah. So that's cool. There's a character highlight for a smuggler called Kimir. I think that's how you pronounce it. Former smuggler who now makes a living as a trader, procuring unusual things, enjoying life and leisure. He's got one shot in the trailer, I believe, peeking around a corner of a doorway. There's Bryce, you mentioned Yord before we start recording here. Yord is a guardian of the temple, by the books kind of guy.
I'm gonna make another like a huge stretch. I feel like they're both around the same age, Yord and this and May, like the main, and they both have dreadlocks. So I'm gonna say they're brother and sister.
Oh man.
But one is fallen and one is, because it says Yord is like by the books, and it makes sense if he had like, if he was like, I don't know, there's a reason he's by the books, right? And like maybe he has like a sister that kind of is the opposite.
That actually raises a question to me. So if the Jedi Order, like they get kids when they're young, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't really know their family. But if they get siblings, like twins, and they bring both, do they let them know that they're related? Because they're not supposed to know their family.
They do. They do. Because in the Clone Wars, we saw those two in season six. Those two, it was like one of them was pink and one was green. And it was like Tipley and Tupley or something. I don't know. I forget their names.
Tipley.
Yeah. And the one of them was killed when one of those clones went like his bananas with his Order 60 chip. Yeah. Going like haywire or whatever. So, and then the other one dies later in Son of Dathomir, the comic book, the Clone Wars continuation.
That makes me wonder then. So then they do let them know, because I guess it'd be kind of unavoidable to hide it. But, like, what sort of difference in, like, training and whatever do they have? Because they have that extra attachment they got to deal with. Probably a lot more difficult.
Oh, probably.
That's never really been spoken about.
Yes, yeah,
anyway,
challenge.
Bit of a tangent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's just like the Jedi aren't allowed to know their family outside of the Order, but if they have a sibling within the Order, then that's fine. I think that's how it is.
Gotcha. Yeah, okay, it makes sense.
But yeah, but the Jedi are a family, right? Like, they are kind of supposed to be their own family, so yeah, makes sense. But yeah, Yord's pretty cool. Got a yellow lightsaber. We got some yellow lightsaber action going on in this trailer, which is pretty sweet. And very appropriate that he's a guardian of the Jedi Temple, or in Clone Wars, we know them as Temple Guards. They wear the masks. They walk around in white robes. They've got the dual flip-out lightsabers. Very cool. We see them at Ahsoka's trial, court case, and multiple
and
other times.
And Rebels as well.
Yeah, and in Rebels, yeah, the Grand Inquisitor used to be a Temple Guard as well. So, yeah, very cool to see them without the masks on in this High Republic era. Very famous character popping up in like one or two shots of the trailer is Vernestra Rowe, also known as Vern. Anyone who's read most of the High Republic books out there, she shows up through most of them. So she at this point is probably close to like 100 or 200 years old or something. So she's aged extremely well. She is an alien, so, you know, kind of makes sense. And her write-up is a lot larger, but anyone who remembers a young Jedi wielding a purple lightsaber, which also turns into a light whip, that is her. And uses the Force to open a set of doors. At this point now, she's lost all her purple hair. She's completely bald, and she's got the green skin. So that's Vern. So we've definitely talked about her and seen her before. So it's nice to see a familiar face within all of this High Republic continuity. And this is definitely, you know, later down the line. And she has aged well. So I have very terrible feelings as to what could happen to her character in this show, because obviously if she ages this well, she should technically be in The Phantom Menace, and she isn't. So, I mean, you know, just kind of my own thought, my own imagination going there. But maybe we could see some good highlight for her in this show. It looks as if the fall of Starlight Beacon in the end of phase one or the beginning of phase three or something, Starlight Beacon falls and she still mourns the loss of her Padawan. She was sort of a prodigy. She became a knight at the age of 15, like one of the youngest ever to be a Jedi Knight. And it looks like she, according to StarWars.com's like spotlight here, she's pulled back from the Order a bit and shifted her focus on her own like self-healing. So she'll be a bit of a bit more of like a Ronin figure, you know, a bit of a lone wolf kind of Jedi in this series. And that'll be kind of cool to see her in live action. We got a glimpse at a new set of like a new witch covenant in Star Wars. I don't think they're Night Sisters, but they've got like white like tattoos on their forehead. And they're wearing like navy blue dresses with hoods. And it says that Mother Anicia, who's like the leader of their group, is like their leader who values independence and preservation of their beliefs and powers. That's all it says. But I just wanted to ask you guys, because like it's not often that we get introduced to yet another, force religion out there. Like, what do you think of some sort of, you know, like group like this that's not the Night Sisters that might also have like similar traits and attributes because they're calling themselves witches?
I would say it doesn't really surprise me considering where we're at. I don't have any specific feelings on it. And I mainly say that because over the last decade, they've really expanded the different religions in the Force, starting with Rogue One, right? Yeah. So that being the case, and they want the galaxy to feel very vast and lots of different cultures. So at this point, I think it's very fitting to just an expanded universe instead of it just being Jedi and Sith, and that's really the only Force users. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, makes sense to me.
I completely agree. It's like, why just keep using the same? You know, it's like much more interesting just to expand the galaxy by making, because, you know, just like thousands of planets and like trillions of people, and they all have their own ways and cultures that interact with the Force in different ways. So it seemed very, very natural to me that there'd be a lot of different like Force adjacent religions and cults and groups. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. How do you guys think this is going to work for people being introduced to Star Wars for the first time? I mean, there's a huge debate with, you know, like what to watch first at times. And I think a lot of fans for a long time might still just go starting off with the films and kind of go from there. But if this is a one and done season thing, and, you know, it's an all-inclusive story, and it's supposed to be designed to help us go into The Phantom Menace, do you think that anyone watching chronologically is going to perhaps want to start with a show like this?
As far as watching Star Wars in chronological order, I feel like that ship has sailed. It's just too much now. Anyone you try to get into the series, like, it's just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
So I would, I probably would stick to watch the original movies, prequels and original trilogy, and then from there kind of just do whatever you want, whatever interests you. Because I feel like if you start there, you're getting a good taste of kind of the different sects within the Star Wars fandom, whether you want to be more prequely or sequely or stick in the original trilogy. I think that's probably, that's what I would do. But I at this point, I couldn't say like, oh, I got to watch all of Mandalorian before you can start episode 7. Like, I wouldn't do that. It's just too much.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I think for me, the best thing for new Star Wars fans is just to have actual like good shows to watch. Like, I think it's,
I think
they should start with whatever interests them, and hopefully, and just like the best media that Star Wars has to offer, which I think is like Andor, right? Like, yeah. I think Andor got like a lot. Cause like, I mean, like, I think people are probably sick of like Star Wars fans recommending them shows, and then they watch them and they're like, Boba Fett, like, this thing sucks, right? Like, like, I think it's like really nice for like a Star Wars fan to be like, yeah, like, watch Andor, it's actually good. And then they watch it and they're like, okay, that was actually good, not just as a like as an actual show, even if it doesn't have anything to do with Star Wars. Like, okay, right. I can trust that Star Wars can produce like good stuff now. And I think that will bring in a lot of fans. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think if this is like a really good show, I don't know, I'd say recommend people to just start with it. If it grabs them, then they can move on to the other stuff.
That's fair. I'm gonna poke one hole in your plan, though, because it makes sense on paper. But if they really like Andor, it's such a different tone than everything else that they've produced, that nothing else would, like, if that's the style show they want, nothing else will like hold a cup. So.
Mm. I'm very much big on chronological view. It is very tough, though, like you're saying, like, you know, I don't think I would ever have the, I don't think anyone has quite that level of time to sit down and go through everything, including Clone Wars and everything, all in order at this point. If I was just to do someone with just the films, though, you know, I would probably show them chronologically, but you know, if this show really is, you know, a home run, kind of like Andor in a different sense, I would probably be inclined to throw this in the mix if it makes sense to do so, right? Like, it makes no sense to show someone Ahsoka after episode 6, even though that is a great show. You know, like, it doesn't really make any sense to show them that show and then watch episode 7, because it doesn't really have anything to do with the lead-in of the next trilogy, right? But for me, this is like probably kind of like Andor, or it's a lead in into a very big film in that saga, right? So and unlike Rogue One and you know, Andor, like, Andor leads into Rogue One, which is already a spinoff movie, and, you know, Solo is kind of its own thing. But this is sort of the first live action show that directly leads into a George Lucas film. So that's just kind of where I'm coming from. If it is just as I don't know, as good as I'm hoping it to be, and as relevant as I think it should be for kind of leading us into that political situation that we get started with in The Phantom Menace, I'd be inclined to throw this in the mix. You know, we watch this first, and then you go through all the Skywalker saga films, and then you kind of decide what to do from there. But I feel like if they played the cards right in this show, this could be big news for anyone watching the prequels. Might have a lot of relevance to kind of explain some backstory going on for what the Sith are and like why they're coming back and stuff like that, especially if it is from the villain's point of view. So that should be a curious thing to find out.
Hold on. Mother Anicia also has dreadlocks, coincidence?
Oh, man.
Her name's Mother?
Her name's Mother.
May, her daughter? And she's a mother of May?
Oh.
I think you've cracked the case.
Yeah. Thank you.
So we got two more character highlights real quick. We got a Wookiee Jedi. Not very common that we see those. The third Wookiee Jedi now since so in Clone Wars and Bad Batch, we've got Gunji. And in the High Republic era, in the Phase 1, we've got, Bariaga. And now in this show, we've got a new Wookiee Jedi. His name's Kel Naka. And it says that he's a loner who lives a solitary life. But it's going to be cool to see a Wookiee Jedi. Yeah, loser.
Loser. No friends.
Wookiees, do they have surnames? Because I know, like, Chewbacca, originally his family was like Lobaka and Ichibaka, right? So does that mean, is he part of the Baka clan? Is he related to Chewie?
Yeah, Maybe.
Is that too small of a world? Yeah. I don't know. That might bother me if that's the case. Or is it more like
a cultural last name that's shared with like many different families, right?
That's what I'm wondering too. Yeah. So hopefully, my preference is I hope they go that route.
Yeah, I think so. I think
instead
of
we get
likely.
Chewbacca's family line, a Star Wars story.
I highly doubt it. Well, also, like, Chewbacca at this point, I think, technically, isn't he, like, probably alive at this point? Like, maybe...
Yeah, he's
just,
probably born.
Just
yeah.
being born, he yeah. Might be. He might be, like, a young kid at this point, yeah.
Chewbacca's like brother.
It's a young 30-year-old kid.
Right. A young...
He's all so this
Kel Naka, he's a Wayseeker Jedi, right? Like, there's the Jedi that kind of, like, they kind of go out on their own, right? The High Republic?
Yeah.
They're like a class of Jedi, and they're like, they're out on like the fringes, and they're kind of like monks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm on the wiki, and it's, there's a line over something that's like, Obi-Wan is like, oh, if this Wayseeker Jedi were still around, Obi-Wan's like, I think Qui-Gon would be one.
Right.
I think they're Jedi that kind of feel on the fringes of the Order, or like, and they just let the Force guide them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but close to
a
Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
The final character, which is really cool, is Indara, who is played by, what is her name from The Matrix?
Oh my gosh, how did I not realize?
Trinity. Yeah.
Yeah, so she was super awesome sequence in
Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Ann, yes, thank you. She was also in.
That's why she's doing Kung Fu.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I actually have a bit of an opinion on this, so I'm so curious to get into this one with you guys.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, I think on paper she's absolute perfect casting because of all of her experience in The Matrix and like all the cool martial arts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm worried that in my fan brain, I'm not going to be able to separate the two characters.
So on on the interview with Leslie, it says the series is a love letter to some of Hedlund's favorite martial arts sagas and samurai films like Come Drink With Me,
nice.
And Yojimbo. With a fighting
Yojimbo
with a fighting style crafted after Wushu, given that the era of the High Republic is a time free of galaxy embroiling wars, Hedlund chose to focus her storytelling on a more personal conflicts and smaller one-to-one battles to reveal the new characters on screen. So, yeah, they're, it's sort of a tribute to, you know, some of those samurai films that may have influenced George Lucas as well. So it's kind of cool to see, you know, things like Wushu kind of make their way into Star Wars. And I'm sure they're going to add their own spin on it. But yeah, it's pretty sick. I mean, like, we don't really get martial arts all that often in Star Wars content. Like, we see it more so in the animated shows, but definitely not in live action. So
that's true. Really sick. It's always just been swordsmanship.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, whenever I think of Star Wars martial arts, I just think of Embo flying around on his like friggin' frisbee hat, you know, with his dog. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, right. there's martial arts in Star Wars. Embo.
Or I'm blanking on his name, but the guy from Rogue One, right? The blind guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Donnie Yen's character.
Donnie Yen. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's cool. Cool to see that again. But, that is pretty much it. There's one little quote at the end of this article, which is kind of interesting to note. Hedlund says before signing off, a glimmer of mischief in her eye. She says, but whatever you think the Acolyte is, it's not that. It's a drop in the bucket, baby. Just hang in there and check it out. So I don't know if that's
I think we're being tricked in the trailer. Something's not like as straightforward, I think, as Misty.
It's like it kind of a little minor bit of PTSD with the Last Jedi trailer when Luke Skywalker says, like, it is not what you think or whatever he says. And I'm like, yeah.
No.
I'm getting nightmares, guys. I'm getting scared.
I am excited, though. I do feel like this is finally an era where, like, we really don't know what's going to happen. So, like, it's been pretty... because we've been plugging like more stable holes, I guess, in the story arc of the Star Wars galaxy. I'm pretty excited. I have no idea where this is going.
Yeah.
Other than like obviously Phantom Menace, but like as far as like what the story's going to tell, it feels very fresh to me, and I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I think the freshness is so good in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love the posters. There's two of them out there. One of them has like a bloody lightsaber, you know, like a trail going into the hilt, which I assume is the hilt that gets tossed through the forest in the trailer at all those Jedi, which, by the way, friggin' awesome scene with like eight Jedi together, standing together, and like versus maybe one dude or one woman or whatever wielding a red lightsaber. And I'm assuming none of them survive. So like that's just my thoughts there. But I was like, oh my goodness, this is gonna be one super badass scene, I think, and could potentially be the finale of the show. But yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and find out. It's an action adventure science fiction. It's a thriller. It's a mystery. It's an investigation into the shocking crime spree of Jedi's being killed around the galaxy by an assassin, and so much more. So I think, you know, we're all really excited to check that out. And you know, I'm we'll do our after show for that, of course, when it comes out. And you know, I think it should be a nice one to talk about. I don't know how many episodes are in this show, though. The premiere is two episodes on June 4th on Disney Plus, and so mark it on your calendar. And yeah, I don't know how many follow, probably maybe the standard eight, I would assume, but I guess we'll have to wait and see. But thank you guys for popping back on.
Nice, anytime.
And we'll catch you in the next one.
Glad I was able to call in. I got my geolocator finally working here, tinkering on it. And apparently I'm on Geonosis, so feel free to come pick me up.
Is that so?
Yeah.
A little dusty down there.
Yeah, oh, man, I just keep hearing all these buzzing noises. Thankfully, I already lost my lightsaber hand, so nothing to worry about there.
Take some hollow pics of those old droid factories for us.
Will do. Yeah. We'll walk around a museum here now. I've gone into one of these tunnels.
This transmission needs to be interrupted by droidicas now.
Yeah. Now they know my location. They know it too.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you guys in the next one.
All right. See you guys.
See you out there. Keep flying.
All right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to check the links in the description below. Make sure you visit our new website. April 14th, 3 p.m., Republic Commando is being binge streamed on Yoshiman222's Twitch channel. I will be there as well. We're going to be hanging out and watching him play through Republic Commando, so that's going to be awesome. Social handles using the handle @SWEscapePodcast. And stay tuned for so much more. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you in the next episode of Star Wars Escape Pod.